Okay, we're continuing to look at the gospel. We've looked at its antiquity. It began before the world began. It began with the everlasting covenant. It began with the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. And though that isn't all completely comprehensible by our little pea brains, it gives us great comfort and peace. God himself being that first gospel preacher in the garden as he spoke with the one who would crush the serpent's head. We spoke of then the meaning, the content, the essence of the gospel. And it's important to grasp this because we use the term gospel to refer to the proclamation. But the gospel itself and its essence is what Christ did. It's all that Christ did on the behalf of his people. That is what the gospel is, and Paul speaks of it time and again as the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. It's euangelion to the good news to his people, to the elect. We spoke of the purpose of the gospel, which is to save that people, to save his people, not to try, not to give them a chance, not to give them an opportunity. I didn't read the whole article, but I saw again today Billy Graham was talking about, how Christ's death made possible our salvation. Well, if it just made possible, we're undone. No, it accomplished our salvation. It did it. It is finished. He shall save his people from their sins. And then we've been speaking of last week or two of the effects of the gospel proclamation. And we'll look at that, not completed with that yet this week, and then we'll look at the proclamation itself either at the end of today or maybe one more week. And then I think we'll be done with that and get into Galatians. Of course, there'll be a Confederate Memorial Day sermon in there somewhere. But anyway, the effects of the proclamation. The effects is the elect come to him. Now the Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Some whole views that, all the elect are saved whether they come to God or not. Now, that's what manifests them. God brings his people to himself, and he often brings his people to himself through the proclamation, as we're privileged to proclaim those things and to set forth those things and to see people embrace those things. But God can accomplish it in his own means, in his own way. Even again, as I think we considered John the Baptist in the womb and other instances where the Lord revealed these things. And there wasn't any preacher out there on the side of the road in Damascus either. On the road to Damascus, the Lord will intervene and will accomplish those things. And we can rest assured that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And so we consider on to look at this matter of the effects of the gospel, or the effects of the proclamation. Those that are born again accept that message of Calvary. They accept the message of the gospel. They don't do so in order to make the message true. We proclaim something that is. They don't receive that and somehow make it true. They don't receive that and somehow make it effectual. They don't receive that and somehow make Christ their Savior. He did that. God did that. It is done. It is completed. And as we've looked in Romans 1 again, Paul says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We've studied through Romans, the just shall live by faith. We'll see that same phrase, in Galatians, the just shall live, by faith. And there is God's righteousness revealed. It's not created. It's revealed. It's made manifest. The gospel doesn't produce life. the gospel proclamation in particular doesn't produce life. The gospel proclamation doesn't give salvation. What Christ did does, the gospel essence does. The Lord said over in John 3 and verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, it's like the wind. God does what He will. God does what He would accomplish. And He accomplishes it as He will. And faith to embrace that proclamation is imparted as a part of quickening, as a part of being made alive. God gives that dead sinner repentance and faith. And the proclaimed gospel then is revealed, and they have an object upon which they exercise that God-given faith. It provides an object. It gives light. In 2 Peter, Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. See, like faith, like precious faith is something that is obtained. It is something that we receive. Who that have obtained. He didn't say have it attained. You know, that we attained that. We worked real hard and we got that like precious faith. No, you obtained it. Through no effort of your own. Through no work of your own. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel then gives an object to that faith that God gives. Romans 10 says this, and much sometimes misunderstood and misapplied verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, what is Paul saying there? Hearing by the word of God. Well, first of all, when he speaks of the word of God there, it's not the normal word that we use for word and see used for word throughout the New Testament. It's not logos. No, it's rhema. And that speaks more of a commandment. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the commandment of God, you see. They're dead. They can't hear. They're blind. They can't see. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the command of God, by the rhema, by the word of God, just as we read in Genesis. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's God's word, and it brought forth light. And God's word brings forth hearing, and God's word brings forth sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Preaching reveals that which God has already imparted and that which God has already accomplished in Jesus Christ. For again, Paul says in that passage we've referred to several times in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And again, they're already just. The just shall live by faith. It's not their faith that makes them just. No, it's God that did that. And specifically through the gospel, which in its essence is what Christ accomplished on the behalf of His people, the atonement. And God received that. In Hebrews 8 and verse 10, Paul writes, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. I will put my law in their mind and write them in their hearts. Listen, until God does that, it's just you know, paper and ink, or it's just a tablet with some chunks knocked out. God says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now, the Lord writes on the heart. The law, the Lord places that law within the mind. It's not the doing of man. It's not the doing of the man who hears. It's not the doing of the man who proclaims. In the Romans 8, Paul writes, for what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It proceeds from the heart, but it's placed in the heart by God. Preaching the gospel proclaims salvation as an accomplished fact. It proclaims the victory won. It proclaims the peace established. Those who are privileged to exercise that God-given faith have those things revealed to them. As Paul again said in Romans, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Brother Barber, in his excellent book on justification, says this: to invite man who is dead in sin to break the chains of bondage and exercise himself unto godliness in order to be saved is to cast him further into bondage. There's a guy's dead and he's in chains. And we said, man, just break your chains. Exercise yourself to godliness, and then you can be saved. To offer salvation to a dead man, Brother Barber continues, is to mock him. That's just to offer it. Is to mock him and to present a helpless God to him. Those that have been given God-given faith, those that embrace and receive those things, that is evidence. That is manifestation that they are His sheep. That doesn't make them His sheep, but it manifests that they are His sheep. And we personally, as we know the Lord's brought us to believe these things and to embrace these things, we have that evidence within ourselves that we are sheep. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Lord said again during His earthly ministry, He was speaking to some of His detractors in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Now, have you heard that voice? And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And as Brother Hal alluded to in his prayer, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wow, what a blessed promise that is. And, you know, if the Lord's given us repentance and He's given us that faith to embrace those things, what an assurance that is. In John 10 and verse 4, the Lord said, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In verse 14 of John 10, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You know, the Lord knows these things. He's not wishing and hoping. And He's not doing the best He can. He's not doing His part. No, I know my sheep. And I am known of mine. In Isaiah, the prophet writes in Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. The Lord gives these things. He brings us to Himself that we receive the benefits, even in this life, of what He accomplished on Calvary. When He said, "It is finished, it was done, and the work of righteousness shall be peace." And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Yeah, I know, we look around, this world's a mess. And politics is a mess. And the United States is going to Hades in a handbasket. But you know what? The work of righteousness shall be peace. We can still say, you know, He's still in charge. I don't understand all that's going on. Yeah, and sometimes, you know, humanly speaking, it gets on my last nerve. But he's still ruling and reigning. And, you know, regardless of what comes our way, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And again, as we read that letter from Brother Gardner's son, you know, it's a sad time, and a difficult time, and yet, you know, the peace came through. You know, we're seeing our dad. We've watched him struggle all these years, and you know, now we see those struggles, and that sickness is coming to an end. You know, and bittersweet, I think he called it. There's a peace that passes understanding. Brother Hal again alluded to on his prayer. You know, there's a difference for Christians. It's different perspective on things. And as we proclaim those things, you know, we're not trying to produce results as men, you know, count results. we're proclaiming and we're trusting God for results. Or as Stonewall, and it's been attributed to others as well, whoever first said it out, duty is ours, consequences are God's. You know, I'm trusting God for the results. We're not trying to produce results, at least not as they're commonly understood. We proclaim the gospel, and those that are His receive it. As Paul said over there in that passage of Corinthians, I won't repeat the whole passage, but again, to the one we're a savor of death to death. To the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? It's beyond our comprehension almost. God's seed, that proclamation as it goes forward, it brings forth God's results from ground that's prepared by God, from the good ground that God prepares. And in Matthew 13, the Lord, speaking in a parable, said, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that received seed into good ground, it's the ground that's been made good by God. The seed is sown, is broadcast, and again, we don't know those that are His and those that aren't. But God has prepared and tilled and the heart to receive those things for whom it's intended. We don't try to make men willing. Oh, a lot of folks do that. Man, live, you see some of these things they call invitations and, you know, 100 verses of just as I am and raise your hand and look at me and now that you're looking at me, come on down the aisle and all this other stuff. We don't try to make men willing. God will take care of that for those that are His. Right. And Psalmist writes in Psalm 110, verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Again, the gospel is the power of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, we don't have to manipulate. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. I guess there's, in a sense, some would say we invite the hungry and the thirsty to come to Christ. Well, probably best to say we exhort the hungry and thirsty to come to Christ. But they're the only ones that can hear and can receive. It's the hungry and the thirsty. And they've been made to realize so by the grace of God and by His illuminating, by His giving them life and opening their ears. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As the prophet says, Isaiah in Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your heart delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come ye to the waters. The Lord, during his earthly ministry, Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now he said he didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Well, we know, because the Lord's opened our eyes to see that all men are filthy sinners. But some folks don't see themselves that way. He didn't come to call them. He came to call the sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. He also said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Who's he going to raise up at the last day? Those that come. Those that the Father draws. I mean, the Arminian takes this verse and chops it all up and, you know, puts it through a blender, and then he says, oh, well, what that means, no man comes to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. He said, well, he draws everybody. And then they decide if they're going to come or not. But he said, and I will raise him up. And I will raise him up. Who's that? The one that the Father has drawn. And I will raise him up at the last day. And so, it's by the proclamation of the gospel, the preached gospel, if you will, that the elect come to see and to realize by the grace of God that salvation is all of God. It's all of God. It's none of them. Their eyes and ears are open to realize their terrible state, their helpless state. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And those for whom it's intended, it's a savor of life unto life. And to those who reject it, who see it as foolishness and a stumbling block, it's a savor of death unto death. Again, we don't know what an elect man looks like, because the Lord gives opportunity. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he that is athirst, I can't tell what work the Lord has done unto a heart. In Matthew 5, the Lord said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we're a light of the world. Now, the blind can't see it. The dead can't see it. but we're still to be that light. In Matthew 10, the Lord says, verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy, I charge thee, in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. He'll proclaim those truths. The instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we proclaim those things, but we're not seeking results. We're not trying to make results. Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we proclaim those truths, and the Lord often makes, I think, manifest his elect. Folks take the Philippian jailer, I don't, Paul and Silas weren't in there, giving an invitation at all. Now the jailer comes and says, what must I do to be saved? He'd heard these things, and the Lord had opened, I think, his eyes and his heart. They didn't cast forth some, promiscuous thing that, well, anybody that wants to can. If you just got to want to, and God wants you to, and no. He came. His heart was broken. He was in fear and trembling. What must I do to be saved? That was evidence that God had done a work there. Come unto me all the labor and are heavy laden. He seemed pretty heavy laden there. If you go back and read that, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the message we have to those that are heavy laden, to those that are athirst. Cast yourself upon Christ. Well, we've touched, and this is all kind of overlapped, but we'll finish up week after next, Lord willing, on this, and specifically speaking of the proclamation of the gospel. We've already alluded to it and spoke about it much as well, but the proclamation of the gospel. So separating again that from the essence of the gospel. And we've talked about its purpose and its effects and so forth. But we'll talk about the proclamation itself and conclude our study on the gospel. And we'll get in Galatians, which is about the gospel, by and large. And particularly that, Paul is, they're just one, folks. They're just one. And you go mixing a bunch of stuff with it, it ain't the gospel anymore. And that's Paul's point in the book of Galatians. But we'll look at it in a little more detail in the coming years, I suppose, Lord willing. Let's take our hymnals this morning, stand and sing together, closing hymn. Well now, how could I have lost my little cheat sheet? We're going to sing a closing hymn, and we could say, name that tune, or I push the button. Here it is, there it is. Stand and sing together, number 81, Once for All, number 81.
Free from the law, happy condition, Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all a sinner believed, once for all a brother believed. Cross the burden will fall, Christ hath risen. once for all. Now are we free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, it is we call. Come and he saves us once for all. Once for all, sinner, receive it. Once for all, brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling, surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call, blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to gather as your people, or for the privilege to be called your people, for thy love that spans eternity, Lord, for all that was accomplished on our behalf, for the great price that was paid to make salvation free unto your people. For Lord, we had nothing in our hand with which we could purchase such a thing. Father, thank you for our Savior and his atoning death. Lord, thank you for the work of the Spirit that draws your people unto yourself and allows us, Lord, to embrace the gospel of our salvation and to receive that victory and that peace even yet in this life. And Father, we pray in particular for your peace upon the Gardner families. Lord, by all human indications, it seems that you're soon to call Brother Gardner home. Father, we pray that you might give comfort, that you might give peace as you alone can. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of your servants there. Father, we pray for our brother Pruffle as he's away from us, to give him traveling mercies to return with us. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship we have with our brother Dale. Lord, we look forward to his being with us next week, and we just pray that you might keep your hand upon him, you might prepare the way before him, that you might bless our time of fellowship together, our time of worship together. Lord, thank you for all that you bestow upon us. Lord, for the very air we breathe. Father, we know that all comes from your hand. And Lord, I pray that we might be that people that you would have us to be, that by your grace, by your sustaining power, we might live lives that bring glory unto thee, to show forth whose we are, that you might be pleased to use your people to draw those that have not yet embraced you to yourself as well. Thank you again, Lord, for this, your little flock. Thank you for our Savior, for his atoning death. We pray in his precious name. Amen.